It isn't the AMMA boys back in the well, not in the building.
Back on our quarantine shit.
Yeah, your boy got sick. I stayed home from work today. I did not want to get the Monty boy sick, so.
The what?
The Monty boy. I didn't want to get him sick.
Oh, well, that's, man, let me tell you how much I appreciate that.
I got you back, boy. Hey, how was your birthday?
Man, birthday was off the charts fun. That's the best way to put it.
You were off the charts lit.
I think I was like, man, I was probably like, I wasn't in the top three.
No, not there. I was like, damn, did this dude take one of those pills he found in his driveway? He's looking.
I was chilling.
You were just so happy. Like every time I looked over, you were just like, ah.
Everybody I loved was there. All my friends.
I know, it was perfect. Perfect night.
Bro, this sounds so bad.
I don't hear anything.
I hope it doesn't show up on the feed.
Yeah, let me stop this real quick. Well, if you hear that sound, please do let us know. But I don't hear the sound, and I will make sure I do my best to edit it and take that sound out. But yeah, your birthday, very fun. Had a blast. Yes. Had a very long Sunday recovery day.
Yeah, I was literally still drunk the entire next day.
True.
Dang. Like, my whole, just everything was messed up. My equilibrium, I felt dizzy. It was terrible.
Wow. You need to get them numbers up, boy. Me and Des drank a whole bottle of Henny.
Yeah, I wasn't on that.
I did watch, like, several people feed you shots, and you were like, nah, I want water. And then they're like, here.
Yeah, dude, I did like 6 shots of tequila, like 2 shots of Jaeger, 2 shots of green tea shots, and who knows how many beers.
Ugh.
I don't know. I simultaneously shit in my toilet while puking in my bathtub the next day.
In your bathtub?
In my bathtub.
I hope it wasn't chunky.
It was mostly liquidy.
Ew.
But at that moment, I had poop coming out of my butt. I'm not sticking my head in the toilet.
You should have grabbed a trash can.
No, I ain't puking in my trash can.
In a bag and just bag it, tie it up, throw it out?
What if there's a hole on the bottom? Then I'm putting it in the bathtub and cleaning it. All I had to do was turn my shower on.
Fair enough.
You cleaned up.
There you go. But yeah, you did drink a bunch. It was fun though.
Yeah, did I had a great time.
And I'm sure you had to go back and watch every single fight.
Yes, I need to apologize to our Twitter following. Last 2 weeks I haven't been on it. I'm sorry. This weekend I'm back on the Twitter. Got way too drunk last weekend. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I was right there with you, so there's no way I was watching them, but I was like, nah, I ain't looking up records and all that shit.
Yeah, I was
hey, we're having fun, drunk. Okay? Give us a break.
Yeah. Let us live.
Right, but we were still watching them. Pretty good fight card overall. Lots and lots of finishes. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was a good card. Let's talk about some news first.
Well, they say it's official, but I think it was already official, but Khabib is officially retired.
Yep. Dana's letting it go.
He said 29-0 it is. Do you think it would sound better if it was 30-0?
Of course it would sound better.
Or do you think it's okay that it's 29-0 since no one's done that either?
Yeah. I mean, If that's what he's comfortable with, man, and he's good going out on that, good for him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll somehow get sucked back into one fight. I don't know if it'll be like this year or like 3 years or 5 years from now. If it's going to be for the UFC, I don't know. I just feel like at some point Khabib's getting sucked back into a fight.
That man loves to compete. That we know.
But he seems to be comfortable taking the coach route, so I like it.
I like that too. Misha Tate is coming back.
Love that.
After how many years she's been out of the sport?
It's been a long time, man.
And she's fighting Marion Renault, who just fought on this card last week. And it is her retirement fight. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I forgot Marion. Dang, that's such a quick turnaround for her. Like,
I know.
Good for her, I guess, though. I mean, I'm excited to see Misha back. I wonder if they're going to put that on a... it'll be on the main card. I feel like that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Just a matter of pay-per-view, fight night. We'll see.
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting one, though. Yeah, how many years has it been? Let's see. Misha? Tate. Let's see here. Her last fight was 2016? That's not that long ago. I thought it was going to be like 2013 or something crazy.
It was 2016?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
In November, it was Raquel Pennington.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
All right. What else you got?
What else you got on the fight announcements? I got one that was announced last week. Bill Algeo versus Ricardo Ramos.
Ooh.
That's going to be a fun fight. Anthony Hernandez versus Punahele Soriano. Another really fun fight.
I didn't see that. That's good. Dude, I have so many. It's ridiculous. Demir Ismagulov versus Rafael Alves.
Been waiting to see Demir Ismagulov come back, so I'm so happy about that one.
Randy Brown and Alex Cowboy Oliveira.
Okay, like that one as well.
Zagas Zamagulov against Jerome Rivera.
Another one of those fighters I've been waiting to see for a while. Happy Zamagulov's coming back.
Bro, Jerome is staying active this year.
Yes, he is.
He's just like, let me fight anyone.
The last, like, year.
Oh, yeah. Francisco Trinaldo and Muslim Salikov.
Yeah. That's going to be a really fun striking bout.
I like that. Da-Eun Jung is fighting William Knight on April 10th.
The Iron Turtle.
Yeah. Alonzo Menafield is fighting Fabio Chirant.
Yeah, that's happening this weekend. That's because William Knight, of course, undergoing COVID protocol. I'm pretty sure William Knight already got a new opponent, though. So, yeah, both of those guys.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the Da-Eun Jung one.
Yeah.
Jacare is fighting Andre Muniz.
I think that's an interesting comeback fight for Jacare. Well, not comeback fight, but, you know.
Dusko Todorovic against Maki Pitolo.
That's going to be a banger.
Mm-hmm. Timothy Elliott against Sumo Daerji.
Yep, that's going to be a fun fight. I think that's a good matchup for both those guys.
I agree. Jennifer Maya and Jessica I.
Okay.
Ryan Hall and Ilya Topuria.
Man. I don't know about that fight.
I don't know what to think about that one.
That's going to be a tough one to call, boy.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Let me see here.
Kat Zingano fighting for Bellator. She'll be fighting Olivia Parker at Bellator 256.
Yep. Montana De La Rosa and Ariane Lipsky.
Okay.
It's a decent one. Decent.
Another Bellator announcement. Henry Corrales will be taking on Kevin Lee's younger brother, Keith Lee, at Bellator 258.
Oh, nice. This one's fire. Jack Hermanson against Edmund Shabazian.
Yes, sir. That one's going to be...
Woo! Oh, I don't even think we announced this. Fucking... The Bronx, Charles Oliveira, taking on Mike Chandler for the vacant 155-pound title.
Where's Justin Gaethje?
On the sideline, I guess.
Where's Dustin Poirier?
That's the boy is chasing the money.
Yeah, he is.
Weird one, but whatever. They Oliveira definitely deserves it, and Chandler, hey, we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fun fight. It really is. Just like... I feel like a couple guys might have gotten skipped over on that one.
Poirier specifically. Rob Font against Cody Garbrandt?
Yes, sir. I think we announced that last week, though.
Oh, am I getting into last week's stuff? Yeah.
Or no, that was right after we got off the...
Yeah. All these got announced literally as soon as we got off the air, and I was so pissed about it.
Same thing with the Dillashaw and...
Sandhagen.
Sandhagen fight, yeah.
Yep.
Those were literally right when we got done talking last week, so...
Yep. Like, how ironic.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's literally, like, it happens like that every time, bro.
Every time. Well, that's what I got.
Let me see what else I got here in the MMA news world. There were some scratches this weekend on the card. You guys might be like, oh, they talked about 50, or like 12 fights. We're only going to talk about 10 of them because Julia Stolyarenko, one of the scariest scenes we've ever seen on a scale where she collapsed twice. And, I mean, they were both really, really bad.
They set like, girl back up to wear again.
Well, like, I mean, not that it's okay, but she apparently insisted that she was able to go back up and way back in. But, yeah, man, it was scary. It was a scary scene. Mm-mm. And then there was another fight that got canceled. The one, another disagreement me and Slim had, I believe we only had two, and this was one of them. Gregor Gillespie versus Brad Riddell. That one got scratched too, so
because
I was really sad about that one because I was looking forward to it.
Me too. Sad.
There was a Cage Warriors event that happened this past weekend, and there was some big UFC implications in it. I think Patty the Batty Pimblett is going to finally get his call to the UFC. I mean, this guy has been like, I'd say since McGregor, he's the biggest hype fighter to come out of Cage Warriors.
Oh, for sure.
He doesn't win all of his fights, but they're all exciting. That's for damn sure. So, yeah. Patty Pimblett told the bosses, give him a call after he got that 97-second victory. And then Ian Garry, I'm telling you guys, remember this kid's name. He's going to be something for real. He took on former UFC fighter Rostem Akman. Everybody thought, you know, oh man, this might be too much of a challenge for this kid. Knocked him out with a head kick. Ian Garry.
Really?
Letting you guys know that right now.
Okay. I missed that. I'll have to go back and look at that.
I don't think we got to talk about this one, but there's a fight that got off the card this weekend. No Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega.
Yeah, COVID got it again.
Heartbreaking, bro. I was so excited for that fight.
That shit sucks.
I was so excited for that one.
So now isn't the co-main fucking Woodley and Luque?
Yes, it is.
That's silly.
Yes, it is. I think that might be all I got here. Oh, Jiu-Jitsu champion Gordon Ryan signed a deal with ONE Championship. It's actually a grappling and MMA deal, so he will be finally crossing over into MMA. Much anticipated, man. I'm really excited what he's able to do in the circle. Isn't that what they fight in? It's like a circular cage or something.
Yeah, something like that. Isn't he our age too?
Bro, why do you always say that? Yes, he's probably like 25, 26.
Because really, his
accomplishments. You could be amazed that somebody's doing something.
Because his accomplishments. Like, that's a lot of accomplishments.
Whatever. Antonio Tarver is out of his fight with Frank Mir for his boxing debut.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, some guy named Stephen Cunningham will be stepping in.
Oh.
Sorry to be disrespectful and say it like that, but I didn't mean it like that. I don't know if we ever talked about Dan Hardy getting cut from the UFC, but
I don't know if he did. Yeah,
no longer commentating for the UFC, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but apparently told her Herb's Dean wife like, "Hey, finish my makeup before I cost you your job or some bullshit like that,"
which cost him his job.
Yeah, internally, I don't know.
Mm-mm-mm.
Can't be out here disrespecting women.
No siree. On the other little thing here, Brett John's making his Bellator debut finally. That'll be on May 21st. And then another name I want you guys to watch. This one's going to be in ONE Championship on TNT. I think it's their first card on TNT. Roy. Dude is
what? Spell that?
Cameroonian traditional wrestler, like the sand wrestling. This dude is off the chain huge. I mean, he makes Gaucho Lungiambola look small.
Really?
I'm telling you, check this guy out.
What's his name?
When one comes to TNT, that's definitely going to be a fight to watch. It's on the undercard, so.
What's his name?
Yeah, just be on the lookout for that one. But other than that, man, yeah, that's all we got on MMA news.
Oi, did you hear me?
No.
What's his name?
Roig Roig. It's spelled R-E-U-G. R-E-U-G.
Huh. All right.
Look up his tape.
Roig Roig. I will. I'll pull up a tab and look it up after this. All right. Roig Roig. So first thing that came up.
We had a card this weekend.
Yeah, it was Brunson versus Holland. Like I said, very good one. We did pretty average on our picks, I'd say.
Yeah, we did kind of how we've been doing all year, 500 ball.
Oh, well, let's take it from the top. So, very first Saturday night, we had Bruno Bulldog Silva taking on JP Baez. And I, if you'll note last week, I don't know what I was on because I was like, this is my lock of the night. Bro.
Well, I mean, Bruno Silva, man, he had lost his last, what, three fights coming into this one. JP Baez, one of those guys that's had so much hype outside of the UFC coming in from the Contender Series. His wife fighting on the same card, you know, it kind of just had that feeling of, oh, maybe this is going to be the one where a couple pulled it off, but no sirree.
No.
Gustavo da Silva putting a little show on in the first fight of the night, getting that TKO. And I mean, he had JP Baez scrambling for his life, bro, and ended up just landing. He knocked him down a couple times. Baez got back up, landed clean, straight right hand.
I can't believe the ref kept that going.
Yeah, it was, I mean, Baez was in it up until that last punch. I mean, he definitely got knocked down. He was getting hurt, but he was defending himself.
Yeah.
All right. So Bruno Gustavo da Silva defeats JP Baez via TKO by punches. That was 2 minutes and 56 seconds into the second round. Bruno Silva, now 11-6-2 overall, 1-2 in the UFC, snapped his three-fight winless streak for his first victory since October of 2018. JP Baez, now 9-3 overall, unsuccessful in his UFC debut, and all three of his career losses have been by stoppage.
Hmm.
So we start 0-1 to begin the night. Let's go ahead and move on to a 135 bout that was fought at a catch weight because Jesse Strader came in heavy.
It was Montel Quick Jackson taking on Jesse Strader, and boy, did he live up to that nickname.
Well, yeah, Montel Jackson came in as, what, like a minus 770 favorite or something ridiculous in this one.
Crazy.
Showed exactly why Jesse Strader didn't have a puncher's chance in this fight.
No, not at all.
Montel Jackson was in control from the get-go, ended up getting the TKO via punches. That was just a minute and 58 seconds into the very first round. So Montel Jackson, now 10-2 overall. 4-2 in the UFC. He has earned 7 of his 10 career victories by stoppage, which includes 2 of his 3, I'm sorry, 4 UFC wins. Jesse Strader, now 5-2 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. He has suffered both of his career losses by knockout. I'd like to see him against somebody who's not going to be a minus 770 favorite against him.
I agree.
Good for him stepping on short notice, though, and good for Montel Jackson doing exactly what he was supposed to do in this fight. So we're both 1-1 to start the night. Here's our only disagreement of the night.
Yeah, we had Trevin Giles taking on Roman Delige. This fight was a little more even than I thought it would be, but it was Trevin Giles that got the nod.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why people keep sleeping on Trevin Giles. I know Delige looked like a world beater before, but I felt like this was his first time really going up against some good competition. And in his last fight, he lost a split decision to John Allen. So if you're losing if you're winning a split decision against John Allen, I figured you're probably going to lose your fight against Trevin Giles. So
it's fair.
MMA math worked on that one. Trevin Giles defeats Roman Delige via unanimous decision. That's 29-28 across the board. Trevin Giles is now 14-2 overall, 5-2 in the UFC. He's improved to 4-2 now since he went down to that middleweight division in December of 2017. Roman Delige, now 8-1 overall, 2-1 in the UFC. Unsuccessful in his debut there in middleweight. He was undefeated in his previous weight class, I think it's time. Obviously, you got to go back to it.
I agree. So, agreed.
I cut my deficit with Slim down to 1 going into this weekend's pay-per-view.
My, oh, my, how it came back. So this next one, we had Leonardo Santos taking on Grant Dawson, and woo, dude, first round, all Santos. Second yes. round, all Dawson. Going yep. into the third, Grant Dawson's corner was like, yo, you need to pull something out here. Like, fuck the takedown.
James Krause with a legendary corner.
Love that.
So, yeah, I mean, the third round was, I wouldn't really say it was close. I think Dawson was still winning it, but he did what he had to do to get that finish and got the knockout with hammer fist while he was in like a De La Riva guard almost. It was amazing, dude. Great downward punches there by Grant Dawson, showing the raw power he has. He improves his record now to 17-1 wow. overall. Grant Dawson's 5-0 in the UFC. And that was his lightweight debut. He has earned 15 of his 17 career victories by stoppage.
That was his lightweight debut? Knockout,
what's up?
That was his lightweight debut?
Yeah. Dawson's knockout at the 4-minute-59-second mark of round 3 is tied for the second latest stoppage in a 3-round UFC fight. The record holder is Ricky Simone, who have got the record at 5 minutes in the third round, which you can't beat that one.
No.
Leonardo Santos now 18-4-1 overall, 7-1-1 in the UFC, so suffering his first UFC loss. And his 13-fight MMA undefeated streak was snapped for his first loss since May of 2009.
What?
Yep. And that was Santos' first knockout loss since October 7th of 2006.
Damn.
Grant Dawson.
That man had been knocked out since we were in middle school.
Right. All right, so it might be a little bit early to do this, but, I mean, I think it's well-deserved.
What's next for Grant Dawson? Give that man Grant a number. What was his previous weight class?
What's up? I didn't hear you, sorry.
What was his previous weight, 145?
Yes.
I'd like to see him up again. I don't know. Do you think you should stay there or go back down?
I mean, he looked good there. I'm sure it's a lot easier on him because he was big for the 145-pound division. I don't know. I think he looked all right. I like him at lightweight.
Lightweight's the top 15 is just so like, dude.
I mean, but I feel like Santos had to have been like, obviously he's really on and off when he's on his fighting, like dates in between wise, but
yeah.
I mean, he's like right there in the top 15, like right outside of it type.
Maybe like an Ally Quinta.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. Yeah, I guess.
Diego Ferreira? Kevin Lee.
No, not Kevin Lee.
He's 5-0.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess Ally Aquinta. Al hasn't done anything in a while.
No.
He's been selling homes.
He's been giving people mortgages.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Who was it? Grant Dawson called somebody out.
Oh, I don't remember.
It was Paul Felder and somebody else, but Paul Felder in a joking manner.
I don't remember.
Oh, I can't think of who he called out. Give him whoever he called out. He deserves it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, up to the women's 135-pound division. We had Marion Renault taking on Macy Chason. And we finally got to see a pretty decent performance. What's it called? Consistently decent performance from Macy Chason, except for that little in the first round when she just like gave up her back willingly and we were both just watching the TV like, what?
Yeah, like, don't do that.
don't do that at all, ever. But nonetheless, she corrected her mistake and got through the fight all three rounds.
Yeah, she ended up taking the last two decisively. It's exactly how the judges saw it. They had it 29-28 across the board for Macy Chason. I thought it was a good performance for her. She adjusted, you know, the mistakes that she had in that first round and took the next two. So that's what you want to see out of a fighter. Macy Chason's record is now 7-1 overall. Her UFC record is now 5-1. And then on the other side, Marion Reyno, the oldest fighter in the UFC, now 9-7-1 overall, 5-6-1 in the UFC. She is on a 4-fight losing streak, which is the longest of her career. And she has suffered all 7 of her career losses by decision.
Wow. And as we already said earlier, she's already booked to fight again.
Right. So we'll see her taking on Misha Tate here pretty soon. Let's go ahead and move on to the 5-fight main card, starting in the heavyweight division. And like I said last week, I don't know who the fuck put this fight together. And I don't know why the odds were not like Montel Jackson-ish.
Yeah, you're telling me it was Bam Bam, Tai Tuivasa taking on Henry Hunsucker and man...
Harry.
Oh, Harry, Henry. Sorry. Hori Hunsucker. Man, Tai just made it look easy.
I mean, dude, it was just... He just walked over him. I mean, it wasn't even close, dude. It wasn't even close.
No.
It was just such a bad matchup. I don't know. Who thought that was a good idea? Shout out to Hunsucker for stepping in on short notice, but... Yikes. Tai Tuivasa, now 12-3 overall, 5-3 in the UFC. He has earned 11 of his 12 career victories by first-round stoppage.
Wow.
Tuivasa has earned all 4 of his UFC stoppage victories by first-round knockout. Harry Hunsucker, now 7-4 overall, 0-1 in the UFC, and he has suffered all 4 of his career losses by knockout. Also, I forgot to mention that Grant Dawson got a performance of the night bonus.
Nice. Did Tai do the shoey, or was that against COVID?
No, he did a shoey on set next to Megan O'Leary. Did you see that? And she was like, oh, don't worry about the set. We'll get anyone.
No, I missed that.
That's and funny. I think it was like on ESPN or something. They were like talking about him doing it. And they were like, yeah, you'd think like, oh, there's foot fungus and a bunch of bacteria on there, but the alcohol actually kills it. They're like doing like the science behind it. And I'm like, yo.
That's amazing.
Speaking of performance of the night bonus, though.
Yeah. A lot of people's new favorite fighter, because he kind of looks like Jorge. It's Adrian Yanez taking on Gustavo Lopez. And man, oh man. This is the Adrian Yanez show.
Adrian Yanez's nickname should be Smooth, because that's just his style, man.
Yeah, that boy.
He's a silky smooth dude.
And that boy is accurate.
Yes, he is. I mean, when he throws, it's with conviction. And let's not forget, man, like, he's only lost against really good fighters, and 2 of his losses were split decisions. So, I mean, I like to see that. Like, if you're losing, if your losses are by split decision, that kind of takes a little bit of the oomph out of him, I feel like.
Right.
And this guy's just been tearing it up his last 6 fights, man. All by knockout, except for 1 of them. So, yeah, Adrian Yanez just showing the talent he is. I think he's going to be rising right on up those 135-pound rankings.
Oh, yeah.
So, Adrian Yanez defeats Gustavo Lopez via knockout. That was 27 seconds. Third round. Adrian Yanez is now 13-3 overall, 2-0 in the UFC. He has earned 10 of his 13 career victories by stoppage, and he's finished both of his UFC wins by knockout. Also, something you want to see out of a fighter, Yanez has earned performance of the night bonuses in both of his UFC wins.
Nice.
Gustavo Lopez, 12-6 overall, 1-2 in the UFC. He suffered all 3 of his career stoppage losses by knockout.
Nice.
So, Slim and I off to a good start on the main card until these next 3 fights happen.
Yeah, we had Cheyenne Bays taking on
Our new favorite nickname in the game.
Monster Rat?
Monster Rat!
No! No! Monster Rat!
It's so funny because I didn't even realize. I didn't even realize how bent out of shape I was about it.
When I was sitting next to you, your face was just like, no! You're just straight faced. Oh my god. Hey.
Yo, Monster Rat came in and made a name for herself, though.
Monster Rat came to play. How do you land three takedowns and get her in a head and arm choke all three times? What?
Yeah. That shows the upper body strength she had.
And I guess she's got a huge following back home. I looked up her Instagram. People were going ham for her.
How'd you feel about her? We didn't get to talk about their face off, I don't think. What'd you think about her in the little bunny suit? And she twerked her butt a little bit on Baze.
Kind of weird. I don't get the bunny thing. Because she's done in other fights, too.
Is that what Conejo means?
Conejo?
Because that's her, like, they actually had that up as her name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah, Conejo means rabbit.
Oh, really? All right. Well, fair enough.
So there you go. That explains it.
Okay. Either way, dude, Monster Rat is a dog.
Monster Rat. No. Yeah. No, I'm hyped on her. Like, I need to see more Monster Rat.
Right.
Like, get her right back out there, bro.
For sure.
Monster Rat's fun.
Monster Rat is domination.
Controversy.
Yeah. Apparently, Baze says Monster Rat spit in her face, and like they got up in each other's faces at the end of the third. I didn't see it, but you know.
Yeah. Monster Rat nasty.
Monster Rat gives no fucks.
At all. So Monster Rat Ruiz defeats Cheyenne Baze via unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-27. Cheyenne Baze is now 5-2 overall, 0-1 in the UFC, and she suffered both of her career losses by decision. On the other side, Monster Rat Ruiz now 10-1 overall and 1-0 in her young UFC career. Like I said, give me more Monster Rat.
Yes. ASAP.
On to the next fight, the co-main event of the evening.
Yeah, we had Song Kanon taking on Max Payne Griffin. Dude, like I said, you just don't know what you're going to get from Max Griffin.
He's like, Max Griffin's like those, remember at like the Dollar Tree back in the day, how they had those like random bags of things? Like you might get like a toy car, you might get like a paddle with one of those balls, just had a bunch of random toys in it.
Yep.
That's Max Griffin, bro. Yep. Random grab bag.
Yep.
You might get a stellar $50,000 performance like he got this time, you might see him get pieced up for three rounds straight.
Yep. Against Song Kanon. Like, I mean,
yeah, I didn't see that one coming. I think Griffin was the favorite, right?
Like very slight.
Let me check on that real quick. Oh, they don't have it. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, Max Griffin, with a performance of the night winning bonus, defeats Song Kanon via knockout. That was 2 minutes, 20 seconds into the very first round. Max Griffin now 17-8 overall, 5-6 in the UFC. He has earned all three of his UFC stoppage victories by knockout.
Wow.
Song Kanon on the other side now 15-5 overall, 4-2 in the UFC. He has suffered both his career stoppage losses by knockout. All right, let's get into this next one. I don't think either of us saw this one coming.
I mean, I did. As soon as that Gillespie fight fell out, and actually, as soon as we got done recording, I was like, you know what? I really think Holland could do something great here. I think he's gone a great streak, and I think that he can really maximize his star potential with the win here. But we're talking about the prospect killer in Derek Brunson here, and we know how good his wrestling is.
Mm-hmm.
And he just showed that again and again and again, especially in this fight.
Yeah, I think he's on, like, this is definitely one of the better Derek Brunsons we've seen.
Oh, yeah, big time.
He's just kind of hitting those strides, man. Like, in his game, everything's working for him.
He's the prospect killer.
Yeah, he is now. Bonafide prospect killer. Derek Brunson defeating Kevin Holland via unanimous decision. 49-45, 49-46, 49-46. Derek Brunson now 22-7 overall. Kevin Holland falls to 21-6. So let's play matchmaker. What's next for both of you guys, Slim?
Brunson needs to go back to wrestling practice, but Holland, I think he...
Why does Brunson need to go to wrestling practice?
I'm not Brunson. Holland needs to go to wrestling practice. Brunson, though, I think either fights Cananier or Costa.
He called out Costa. You think he gets it?
If he does, winner gets title shot.
I mean, I'd like that. I'd like that a lot.
As for Holland, I think it'd be good to see him against, like, I don't know, like a Chris Weidman, Uriah Hall, maybe.
That'd be fun. Either of those. Uriah Hall would be really fun. Give me that matchup right now.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
Uriah Hall versus Kevin Holland, that's one anybody can get excited for.
Oh, yeah. But then, of course, you know, everyone after this fight was like, oh, bro, what happened to Holland, man? What happened to Holland? I'm like, dude, Brunson's a beast. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
That's just how it's been going this year, man.
Right, that too.
That's just how it's been going this year. So, Derek Brunson, just some facts here about him now. He improved to 3-2 in UFC main events. He's on a 4-fight UFC winning streak at middleweight, which is tied with Marvin Vettori for the second longest active streak, behind only Israel Adesanya's 9. Brunson's 13 victories in the UFC middleweight division are tied for third most in divisional history, behind Michael Bisping's 16 and Anderson Silva's 14.
Wow.
Brunson's 13 victories since 2012 in the UFC's middleweight division are most in the division. And a little tidbit here on Kevin Holland. He has suffered 4 of his 6 career losses by decision, which includes 2 of his 3 UFC defeats.
Mm.
So, yeah, in a nutshell, that was UFC Fight Night Brunson versus Holland. Little update here on me and Slim's records. So for that, which was the 10th card of the year, I went 6-4. Slim went 5-5. I went 4-1 on the prelims. Slim went 3-2. And then we both went 2-3 on the main card, 0-1 in the main event. So on the year, I am 40-21 in prelims. Slim's 39-22. In main card fights, I'm 22-30-1. Slim's 24-28-1. Crazy how much better we do in prelim fights than main card fights.
I know.
And we're both 3-6 now. Or, I'm sorry, 3-7 now in main events.
Damn. That's wild.
3-7. So, going into UFC 260, I am 62-51-1. Slim is 63-50-1.
Nice.
All right. So, we ran that card down for you guys. Give us a minute here to get set, get a new beer, and we'll be right back with the official ANA MMA preview for UFC 260, and also for my bettors. If you haven't already, go check out Luck Changers Podcast. I did a little feature on there this week. I'm going to be going on there weekly now for every UFC event. So make sure you guys go check out Luck Changers Podcast if you want my official Monty the Italian's bulletproof parlay of the day. Go check it out.
I don't think they're going to want to after they heard our records.
Well, I've been 0-2 on the 2 parlays I've given on that podcast so far, but they keep having me on, so.
Fuck it. Hey, bibbidi bobbidi, it's Monday the Italian.
Boom, boom, cannoli. All
right, we'll be back.
I was in love once.
Really?
What was her name? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
and we back.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So the biggest card, size wise, of the year.
Size wise,
like the two,
like heavyweight.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I guess not, because Blades versus Lewis, they both weighed more. But it is the biggest, baddest rematch of the year. It is Stipe versus Ngannou 2.
UFC 260.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I'm hyped for this one, man.
It's only Thursday, and we're already down to 10 fights on the card.
Yeah. Let's see if it gets down to 8.
I don't want
Wouldn't
to.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if they threw a bunch of local dudes on the undercard real quick.
Yeah, we'll see. The fights that got canceled on this one, Johnny Walker and Jimmy Crute. We talked about it earlier, Volkanovski and Ortega. Jessica Penne versus Hannah Goldie. Blagoy Ivanov and Marcin Tybura. And Alonzo Menifee and William Knight.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, Alonzo Menifield's still on the card, but, you know.
That fight's still gone, though.
Yeah,
anyways, we got 10 fights here for you guys, so let's go ahead and get into the first one, taking place in the 185-pound middleweight division.
We got Marc-Andre Berriot taking on Abu Azaitar.
Yeah, so starting with Abu Azaitar, brother of Otman, of course. Coming in with a record of 14-2-1. He's 34 years old, 5'11" tall. Last time we saw him out was his UFC debut when he got a win over Vitor Miranda. Before that, though, was on a big tear with the World Series of Fighting. He hasn't lost since 2012. So that's good for a 10-fight unbeaten streak right now.
Wow.
He's just a powerful guy, man. He's a lot like his brother. He's going to come forward, throw powerful punches at you, and he usually looks to get his fights done in the first round. But if it does go all three rounds, he can. He's done very well in those as well. His last three fights, he's actually won by unanimous decision. So
nice. Looking at Berriot here, he is 31. He is 6'1" with a 73-inch reach, 11-4 with one no contest. In his last, actually, all of his UFC fights right now, he's 0-3-1 no contest.
Yep.
That's rough. He lost to Andrew Sanchez, Krzysztof Jatko, Jung Young Park, and then I don't remember if he beat Oscar Piechota or not.
Yeah, he beat Piechota.
Okay, but it was turned into no contest either way. Not what you want to see for the first fight of the night.
No, Marc-Andre Berriot, though, what you see from him is a lot of boxing. He's going to look to, use combinations against you. He's got a good uppercut. And as I saw, like I said, man, he's just one of those guys that's going to come forward, get in your face, and put pressure on you early, usually. And we'll see if he can hold up. That 3 years of ring rust really, really scares me. It's been, once he steps into the ring, it'll be a 979-day layoff for him.
Whew.
So it's like, what are you more scared of? The guy that is, you know, technically 1-3 in his last four fights, or the guy who's 1-10 in a row but hasn't fought in almost 1,000 days? So
it's a good question.
Tough one to call here. Looks like my parlay from earlier on Luck Changer has already shifted the odds 10 points, though. Abu Azaitar, when I gave the parlay earlier, was a +105 underdog. He's currently now sitting as a -106 underdog. And Marc-Andre Berriot, the very slight, -118 favorite. Who you got, Slim?
Yeah, I know you say Abu's been out for that long, but he did have two scheduled fights in 2020 that were both canceled. I don't know if they're fault of him or fault of his opponent, but he at least tried to fight two times last year. I don't know. I got to take Azaitar in this.
ANA MMA going to agree with the first fight of the night. We're both going with the underdog here. We're both going with Abu Azaitar to defeat Marc-Andre Berriot.
All right, going to the 145-pound division, we have Smokin' Shane Young taking on Omar Morales.
Yeah, this one's really, really fun, man. So, starting with Omar Morales, coming in with a 10-1 record. His last fight was against Giga Chikadze, and he lost that one by unanimous decision. But, you know, before that, I think it was, yeah, he fought at lightweight all the way up until that Gabriel Benitez fight. And I always thought he was pretty big, even for lightweight. Mm-hmm. So I was really surprised to see when he went down into featherweight. And I just think, you know, he's much more of a natural lightweight. I think that it's going to be a tough cut for him. This is like one of those ones I wish we could predict this fight on Saturday, because I'd want to see his weigh in Friday.
Sure, sure.
But nonetheless, I mean, he's beaten really good competition so far in the UFC ever since he came in from the Contender Series. He came into that Contender Series fight unbeaten at 6-0. And I'm sorry, at 7-0. Ended up getting the win. And then he's taken on Dong Hyun Ma and Gabriel Benitez so far for his UFC wins. And then that loss to Giga Chikadze. So, you know, I can't really knock you too much for a loss to Giga Chikadze. I really like that win over Gabriel Benitez on his resume. This guy is just pretty well-rounded, but his striking, man, that's kind of like his bread and butter that he's going to go to. But we'll see how that works out against Shane Young.
Shane, who is 27 years old, 13-5 in his career. He's 5'8" with a 72.5-inch reach. He is coming off a loss against Ludovic Klein right now, who, in his own right, is an up-and-coming prospect. He did beat Austin Arnett and Ronaldo D. And then his UFC debut was Alexander Volkanovski,
who he now trains with.
That's wild. Yeah. And that was back in 2017. So he's another one who's only fought one time in the last 4 years. He fought in the UFC at least. He fought once in 2017, once in 2018, once in 2019, once in 2020.
Once every year for 4 years.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, what?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Omar is a great striker. I wonder if Shane would want to take this to the ground.
I mean, I doubt that, man, because Shane's such a great striker in his own right. Obviously, training out of City Kickboxing, I mean, that's probably what he's going to trust himself. I think we're going to get a striker's paradise in this one. I think it's going to be whoever's the best striker wins.
That's fair.
With that being said, who are you taking?
I'm going to take Shane Young.
ANA MMA, with our first disagreement of the night, Slim's going with Shane Young. +145 underdog. I'm going with Omar Morales, the -180 favorite. This is one of those ones, though, man. If Omar Morales comes in heavy, ooh, man, I'm going to be wanting to change my pick.
Yeah, not a good one. I mean, not a good situation if that happens.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, we got a disagreement for second fight of the night in the featherweight division. I'm going with Omar Morales. I'm going with Shane Young. So let's go ahead and move now to the light heavyweight division, and I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, we got Modestus Bukakisaus taking on...
Bukakisaus is back!
taking on Mikhail Olesichuk.
Yes, sir.
You gotta put a little of that in there.
Yeah, I like that. I like that little...
my sinus infection at work.
Starting with the Baltic gladiator, Modestus Bukakisaus, the Lithuanian fighter, fighting out of Denham, Buckinghamshire, England. 6'3", 70-inch reach, or 78-inch reach, sorry about that. Last time we saw him out, it was against Jimmy Crute, which last time we saw Lexichuk out was against Jimmy Crute. Mm-hmm. But before that, Bukakisaus came into the UFC, made a really, really impressive performance against Andreas Michailidis when Michailidis couldn't even make it back to his stool. Other than that, Bukakisaus is just one of those killer-be-killed fighters, man. All of his wins, except one, his first win ever as a professional, went to decision. Since then, all of his wins are by stoppage, mostly in the first round, too. And then every single one of his losses, he's got an 18-second submission loss, 1:12 knockout loss, and then he lost his last time out to Jimmy Crute in 2:01. So... just one of those killer be killed fighters. On the betting side, I would love to take the under on 1.5 rounds over anything in this fight. But yeah, that's Modestus Bukauskas, great striker. I think this is going to be another one, the Striker's Paradise fight. What do you got for me on Oleksychuk?
Mikhail, 14-4. He is 26 years old, 6 foot tall, a little bit on the shorter side for the light heavyweight division, and he has a 74-inch reach. He's on a 2-fight losing streak right now to Jimmy Crute and Ovin St. Preux. Both got him in submissions, a Kimura and a Von Flue choke. And he was... he hadn't lost before that since 2014. That means he was like 18, 19 the first time he lost. So absolutely insane. And he's not fighting scrubs either. He's fighting dudes who have a little bit of experience. One of the dudes was 31-33. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. He did have a no contest to Khalil Roundtree. That was, I believe he failed the drug test. He did beat John Volante after that, and Gazmat and Tigilov right after that, both by finish. Lesichuk's one of those guys, though. When I was looking at Bukauskas' record, he's got some rear naked chokes. He's got some ground and pound finishes. Lesichuk's one of those guys that when you take him to the ground, like, if you're the bigger guy, you can kind of overpower him, and we saw that in his last two fights.
Yeah.
So I would be very afraid if Bukauskas is able to get this to the ground. I don't know if he'll want to off rip.
But he's not going to at all.
Well, I mean, like I say, he's got some chokes down there.
I mean, but I just think this is going to be one of those ones where these guys are going to be swinging him.
I agree.
Also, a little fun fact here about Oleksychuk. His 3 knockdowns landed at UFC on ESPN Plus 7 are tied for the second most in the UFC light heavyweight bout behind Khalil Roundtree's 4 at UFC 236. And Oleksychuk's 3 knockdowns landed in 44 seconds are the most in the least amount of octagon time in a single UFC fight.
Wow.
Shows the power he's got. Who are you taking in this one, Slim?
You know what? He took a year off. I'm going to go ahead and take Lord Mikhail Oleksychuk.
This is a tricky one, man. I like Bukauskas a lot, man. I really do. He's such a killer be killed fighter. Like, this is just one of those ones that's so tough to call. This is like one of those heavyweight bangers that's just like somebody's going out.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I'll agree with you on this one. I'll go Oleksychuk. But for my betters, Bukauskas is sitting as a plus 130 underdog. I like those odds on a parlay. Plus 130 is not bad for him. I think he's got a fair chance to win this fight. It's almost 50-50. So if you can get him at plus 130, that's not bad at all.
I think so, too.
All right. So let's go ahead and move now from that 205-pound light heavyweight bout down to the 170-pound division, and we got a Nurmagomedov.
Bubakar taking on Jared Gooden.
Yeah. So Jared Night Train Gooden coming in with a record of 17-5. He made his UFC debut his last time out, which was against Alan. Oh, I'm sorry. He's 27 years old, 6 feet tall, 77-inch reach, and his last time out was his debut, like I said, against Alan Jouban, which, I mean, that's a tough first fight for your UFC debut. Alan Jouban's been in UFC for so long. He's seen so many different fighters. Like, that was just a really tough first scrap for our guy, Jared Gooden. But before that, he was on a 3-fight winning streak. You know, he's been experienced. He's been in a lot of different big promotions. And he's fought a lot of good, I'd say, regional competition. But this is going to be a tough fight here. He's got a Nurmagomedov in front of him, and he fights a lot like Khabib. Give him the rundown on Abubakar.
Abubakar, 15-3 with 1 draw. He's 31 years old, 5'11" with a 73-inch reach. He's coming off a loss to David Zawada, where he got caught in a triangle choke in his UFC debut. Before that, he had a draw with Bohan Velikovic, and if you'll remember, so did Darren Till.
Yeah.
2 draws for Bohan. He did have a win over Jonathan Weston, and then he lost to Pavel Kush?
Kush? Act loud.
He got choked out. When do Nurmagomedovs get choked out?
Not very often.
Come on now. Usually they do the choking.
Pretty sure Umar got choked out too, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he?
Yeah.
In this, though, I think Abubakar is going to do what he can to get this to the ground. I know Gooden's going to want to keep it standing, but...
Oh, wait. Umar's undefeated. I was howling.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Abubakar.
Yeah. I agree totally on that one. I actually got him on my parlay later in the night for luck changes. You go check that one out. So I'm confident on this one. I'm going with Abubakar Nurmagomedov as well. He's currently the -240 favorite over the +190 underdog Jared Gooden. Nice. So we now move to the final prelim fight before we go into the main card.
Yeah, we got Alonzo Menafield taking on newcomer Fabio Charrant.
So Fabio Charrant coming in with a record of 7-1. This guy, man, just such a good counter puncher and a lot of really good submissions as well. He actually won his first 4 fights by submission on his way to that contender series fight where he lost to Alexa Hamer. And he was doing good against Alexa until he got hit with that flying knee. After that, though, he went on to beat Eric Murray Jr., beat UG, who was undefeated at the time, and then beat Myron Dennis, who's faced a lot of good UFC competition. But the thing about Durant, before he even fought Alex Hamer, his combined record of his four opponents, his first 4 career opponents was 2-9. That's not something you want to see. I mean, I'm glad that since he had that contender series shot, he's fought these guys that have some experience, have some good wins on their records. So other than that, though, like I said, this guy, just a really good counter puncher. He's got good submissions as well. They're more like defensive submissions. He's not going to be looking to like take you down and search for submissions from the top. You know, he's not one of those guys, but if you do take him down, he's got some stuff he can put on you. Or if you're trying to clinch up with him, he can snatch you up real quick. So Fabio Charrant, a dangerous guy, but he's got a dangerous guy in front of him, all right?
Yeah, Alonzo Menafield, he's 9-2, 33 years old, 6 foot tall with a 76-inch reach. He's coming off 2 losses right now, though. 1 to OSP and 1 to Devin Clark, when OSP actually knocked him out. But he was entirely undefeated before that, 8-0. He knocked out Paul Craig viciously in the first round. He knocked out Vinicius Moreira in the first round. He knocked out his Dana White's Contender Series opponent in 8 seconds. Or was that 8 seconds to go?
It was in 8 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely insane. And all of his other wins before that were by finish, most of them in round 1. So this man, he's had a couple little setbacks here, but he's fought the best of the best. Devin Clark's no pushover. OSP stays just taking out those little contenders that DOC keeps throwing them at him. But whether it be him or William Knight, or whether it be Fabio or William Knight, I was going to pick Alonzo anyway, and I'm still sticking with that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I think William Knight was a little bit of a better fight here than Fabio Charrant, but I mean, Charrant is a dangerous guy in his own right, but Alonzo Menafield, man, that power is just something else. I really hope he gets it done in that first round, though, because we've seen Alonzo Menafield's gas tank can fault him very quickly.
Yeah,
we've seen him get very, very tired before. Okay, and that's a big cause for concern. So he's going to have to do it quick if he's going to do it, because the longer this fight goes into the second and third round, he's in trouble.
Agreed.
So on that, though, I do agree with you, Slim. We're going to both pick Alonzo Menafield, the -285 favorite, over the +220 Fabio Charrant. Right now, Alonzo Menafield is the second biggest favorite on the card.
Nice.
So that was your preliminary card. You can catch that on ESPN and ESPN Plus. But now we're going into the pay-per-view main event, main card. You do got to pay for this one. Of course, you got to go on ESPN Plus and buy the main card on there. But we start you guys in the lightweight division, and a fun scrap here. We'll see if we doubt our guy again.
All right. It's Jamie Malarkey taking on Kama Worthy.
Yeah, man. Kama, the Death Star Worthy, one of my favorite nicknames, 34 years old, 5'11" tall, and 74-inch reach to go along with that. So his last time out ran into younger brother of Abu Azaitar, Atman. And Atman, of course, just one of those punishing wrecking balls. He ended up knocking Kama Worthy out in a minute and 33 seconds. But before that, man, Kama Worthy beat Luis Pena and he beat Devontae Smith. Those are two high-quality wins to have on your record.
Finishes.
And before that, he was on a 5-fight win streak as well. So this guy, ever since back in the day, man, he fought Billy Quarantillo, lost to him. UFC fighter, though. Matt Bissette, UFC talent, lost to him. Kyle Nelson, UFC talent, lost to him. He even fought Paul Felder back in 2012. So,
holy,
I mean,
this guy
has fought the best of the best. He's seen so many different styles and so many good fighters. So we'll see if Jamie Malarkey has something he can throw at him.
Yo, that's crazy.
The Death Star Worthy, a very, very well-rounded fighter.
Sorry, I'm just looking at Paul Felder's record like, what? That's nuts. Anyways, taking on Jamie Malarkey here. He is 12-4 overall. 26-year-old, is 6 foot tall with a 74-inch reach as well. He is coming off two losses right now against Ferris Zayim and Brad Riddell, both by unanimous decision, though. And then he was on a four-fight finish streak before that in Superfight MMA, Urban Fight Night, and Brace. I don't know what Brace is. Some Australian promotion. He had two losses right at before that. He fought Volkanovski, too? What the hell?
Volkanovski be fighting all of his local homies.
Right. Volkanovski knocked him out. Yeah, I don't really know what to make of this one with Jamie.
So Malarkey's definitely going to be looking to keep it standing. That's his bread and butter. He's got good striking. So I think he's going to look to take a little page out of Atman Azaitar's playbook. Man, Kama Worthy. It's just like, all right, Jamie Malarkey lost to Brad Riddell, but then he lost to Ferris Zayim, 0-2 in the UFC. Kama Worthy's beaten Devontae Smith and Luis Pena, two top 15 talents, I think. So, I don't know why the odds are so close.
I don't know, but I'm picking Kama Worthy.
Me as well. ANA MMA both going with the -135 favorite, Kama Worthy, over the +100 Jamie Malarkey. Sorry, +1. Yeah, I'm putting that on all my parlays.
All right, going on to the next fight. Here we have Jillian Robertson taking on Miranda Maverick. The lone woman's fight.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one here. Starting with Miranda Maverick. The 23-year-old... Sorry, my stuff's freezing here.
Fear the Maverick.
Miranda Fear the Maverick, 23 years old. 5'3" tall, coming in with a 65-inch reach. She trains out of Norfolk, Virginia, with the House of Muay Thai. The last time we saw her out, she made her UFC debut against Liana Jojua, and it was just one of the bloodier, more vicious fights you'll see. Man, she had Liana Jojua busted up bad. But other than that, she has really quality wins over the likes of Pearl Gonzalez, Deanna Bennett. She's beaten Victoria Leonardo, who is in the UFC now. She beat Shanna Young. So, I mean, she's fought a lot of really, really good fighters. And when you look at her, she's only 23 years old. And she's one of these fighters that every time you see them, she has a new, like, wrinkle or improvement in her game. And that's something you really want to see out of these 23, 24, 25-year-old young fighters in the UFC. She puts her combinations together really, really well, and she uses a lot of pressure. Her striking is fantastic. We haven't gotten to see too much of her takedown defense, but it's definitely something she's going to have to use against a fighter like Jillian Robertson.
I agree. Jillian, 9-5, the 25-year-old, is 5'5" with a 63-inch reach. If you'll note, these guys were supposed to fight a month ago, and Jillian...
We previewed this fight before.
Yeah, and Jillian pulled out of that. She, I don't she weighed in and all that, and then got apparently really sick that night and going on to the morning, so she pulled out of that fight. She's currently coming off a loss against Talia Santos. She beat Poliana Botello, beat Courtney Casey, lost to Macy Barber, beat Sarah Frota, like, pfft, what? Beat Veronica Macedo. She's fought everyone in the freaking UFC.
Yeah.
Like, wow. She just didn't win the Ultimate Fighter. But yeah, Jillian, look for her to do some ground and pound. She wants to get this to the ground. I don't even know if she does, because Miranda's a beast on the ground too. I think they might cancel each other out, and this might be a stand-up affair.
No, I think Jillian Robertson's definitely going to look to get this one to the ground. She's got the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. That's kind of her bread and butter. She likes using her wrestling and then using that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, which she does very well. I mean, when she's able to work her game like that, she's a very tough fighter to beat. She's also going to become the first fighter in UFC history to make 10 women's flyweight appearances.
Wow.
So we disagreed on this fight once before, Slim. Let's see if we're going to disagree on it again. Who are you going with in this one?
Miranda Maverick.
Oh, he changed his pick. Wow.
I did. Because as soon as I made it the last time, I was watching their highlights, and I was like, man, why? I was shooting from the hip there.
Corny. We're both going with Miranda Maverick, minus 175 favorite, over the plus 140 underdog Jillian Robertson. So that now takes us from the women's flyweight division up to the bantamweights. Yeah, and I think everybody's excited for this one.
Well, yeah, we got Thomas Almeida taking on Sugar Sean O'Malley.
O'Malley!
Oh, he's big.
So starting with the Brazilian, Thomas Almeida, coming in with a record of 22-4. Tominhas, 29 years old, 5'7", 70-inch reach, training out of Chute Bucks, Diego Lima. So this guy, man, when he came into the UFC, was on an absolute scorcher, went 4-0 right away, and then ran into Cody Garbrandt. He was 20-0 at that point, though.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Garbrandt, of course, knocked him out. Went on to beat Albert Morales, who was undefeated at that time. And then since then, he's lost 3 in a row to the likes of Jimmy Rivera, Rob Font, and Jonathan Martinez, who are all top 15 talents. But when you watch Thomas Almeida, he just has really good combinations that he puts together. He throws those hooks with a lot of power. He goes to the body really well. And we'll see if he's able to use kicks in this one. I think that'll be a big key for him if he's able to use a lot of leg kicks and stop that movement of Sean O'Malley and kind of get him more centered in his center line. Because if he does that, he can turn that into a straight boxing match where he can get in close and throw those hooks in on O'Malley. I think he can possibly hurt him. But Sean O'Malley's such a dangerous striker in his own right. What do you got on him, Slim?
Sugar Sean, the 26-year-old, is 5'11" with a 72-inch reach. Fighting out of Scottsdale, Arizona in the MMA lab. He's coming off that loss that technically wasn't a loss, according to him.
He didn't lose. Wait, what? He's undefeated.
Oh, yeah. That's my bet. I was looking at that grappling bout with Hector Lombard. That don't count. yeah, Marlon got him right in the nerve, I guess, with his big toe. It just deadened his foot? Something? I don't know. Anyway. But he did knock out Eddie Wineland early last year. He knocked out Jose Alberto Quinones early last year. And then we know about Sukumthoth, and he was off for 2 years after the Sukumthoth fight. O'Malley's just a dog, dude. I think he needs to humble himself a little bit, though, and not talk with this undefeated crap. Like, he just says, like, oh, like, if Marlon would have beat me, then, you know, I'd be like, oh, okay, damn, he was the better guy. Like, what? Dog, like. Come on.
Take your loss and build off of it.
Yeah. Just go.
I think the shtick's kind of funny at this point.
It is kind of funny, but it's confidence, but it's like, all right, come on.
But Sean O'Malley, man, just such a fun striker to watch. We'll see if he's able to work that game against Thomas Almeida, though. Like I said, Thomas Almeida can use that pressure and not let Sean O'Malley just kind of stay on the outside and pick him apart. This fight's going to be a lot closer than people think. Right now, the odds makers have Sean O'Malley as the biggest favorite on the card, currently sitting as the minus 335 favorite. From an odds maker standpoint, way too high for my liking. If I were to bet any way on this fight, I would go with Thomas Almeida as the plus 250 underdog. But, O'Malley's, I guess, he's gotten hurt in two of his five fights in UFC. You know, that kind of worries me. And, like, in the middle of the fight, not, like, afterwards. Like, in the middle of the fight, he's been, like, badly hurt. So that just kind of scares me, man. Like I said, if I were
do you remember the Stephen A. Smith comparisons when he fought Cheeto?
Yeah, what did he say he was? Like, he said some stupid shit.
They talked about him and like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, like what?
Crazy,
stupid. But picks wise, what do you got on this one, Sam?
Sugar Show, baby.
A&A MMA agreeing on this one. We're both going with Sugar Sean O'Malley.
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 Get that kid a contract.
All right. So let's go ahead and get now into the co-main event of the evening.
One of the Bellator is going to be watching very closely. It's Tyron Woodley taking on Vicente Luque.
Yeah, the former champion, Tyron, the chosen one. Woodley coming in with an overall record of 19-6-1, 38 years old, 5'9", with a 74-inch reach, fighting out of American Top Team. So his last three fights, he has lost. But listen, it was DeColby Covington, title challenger, Gilbert Burns, title challenger, and Kamaru Usman, champion. Before that, choked out Darren Till, beat Damian Maia, beat Stephen Wonderboy Thompson once and then drew him another time, took the belt from Robbie Lawler, beat Kelvin Gastelum to get that chance, and also defeated Dong Young Kim. Of course, he has that loss to Rory McDonald, got beat by Jake Shields and Nate Marquardt back in the day. But, I mean, he was on a tear when he was champion, man. And dude,
I forgot Colby finished him.
Yeah, he like broke his rib or whatever it was.
Wow.
But, I mean, Tyron Woodley, man, just one of the more well-rounded mixed martial artists you'll find. Really powerful striking. When he does use his striking and volumes, which we haven't seen in a while, he does really good work. But his bread and his butter is his wrestling. He has
where
a black belt now. What, his wrestling?
Not anymore. His bread and his butter is that right hand.
But is he going to use that and knock out Vicente Luque, who has a top three all-time chin in MMA? No. I think he needs to go back to his roots and use those takedowns.
We'll see. Vicente, on the other hand.
They shooting shit around here.
Right. Vicente, on the other hand, he is 19-7-1. The 29-year-old is 5'11 with a 76-inch reach. He'll actually have the advantage in this. He's coming off a two-fight finish streak right now, Randy Brown and Nico Price. Mm-hmm. He did take that loss to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Unanimous decision. I mean, Wonderboy's still top five in the world, but he was on a six-fight winning streak before this, with his last loss only coming to Leon Edwards. I mean, this used to be everyone. He beat Bilal Muhammad. He beat Nico Price twice. He beat Brian Barberina. Mike Perry. Like, dude.
I mean, his only losses in the UFC was his debut against Michael Graves and then Leon Edwards and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So it's like, I mean, he's only lost to the best of the best. He even beat Thiago Santos back in the day.
Like, I seen that. I want to go back and watch that.
His first fight ever, he beat a dude named Andre Playboy. That goes hard.
But Vicente, we know his style. He's stand and bang. He's trade them shots. He's pressure. I think that's exactly what's going to happen in this. He's going to put Woodley up against the cage. He's going to back him down, land them shots, and it's going to be a bad night for Woodley. Unless he gets his head out of his ass and just starts chucking himself.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm betting on Tyron Woodley.
To lose?
Tyron Woodley as the plus 250 underdog.
Mega higher.
Bro, no.
He's minus 200 or plus 200 right now.
All right. Sitting as a plus 200 underdog, I don't think Tyron Woodley should be a 2-1 underdog against Vicente Luque. I do think Vicente Luque is good, but, bro, I mean, Tyron Woodley's only lost to the three best welterweights in the world. Do you think Vicente Luque is as good as those three guys? Because those are the only guys I think that are beating Tyron Woodley.
He's ranked number 10 right now.
We'll see, man. I think after this one, we might be talking a lot different about Tyron Woodley. I think we're going to be all that retirement and all that stuff's going to be out the window after this fight. I'm going to go with you on Vicente Luque because I do think right now he's at a better point in his career. I think Tyron Woodley is 38 years old, and I do think, you know, I need to see that from him before I can pick him again. I need to see him do something, you know, get a quality win again before I'm out here picking him. But I think he's got a good shot in this fight, more than a plus 200 shot. I'm going to go with Vicente Luque.
So falling in and out of love, in and out of love with you.
Silly. A&A MMA agreeing on the co-main event of the evening. We're both going with Vicente Luque to defeat Tyron Woodley. Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Oh, it's main event time. Oh, I can't wait. The Cleveland boy, the heavyweight champ, the GOAT at heavyweight.
Yes, sir.
Stipe Miocic taking on Francis Ngannou.
Francisco Tringanu. So, yeah, man, this is going to be such an exciting fucking heavyweight championship, man. I'm so hyped for this rematch. Starting with the Predator, Francis Ngannou, the scariest power puncher the UFC has ever seen. So, to start his career, just looked like a world beater, man. Came in and won six fights in a row, all by knockout. Four of them in the first round, two in the second, and then he ran into Stipe, who kind of put that blueprint out there on how to beat Francis Ngannou. And then Francis's next time after,
even though Stipe, no one's been able to use that at all,
nope, because the only other person to beat him in the UFC was Derek Lewis, and Derek Lewis just kind of beat him because I guess he outvolumed him, but it was just because it was one of those fights where they both respected so much, or each other's power so much, that it just turned into a stalemate. But since then, Ngannou, looking like his old self, four knockouts in a row, all in the first round, two of them in less than 30 seconds, one in 45 seconds, and one in a minute and 11 seconds. So, I mean, just dusting people left and right with the quickness again. It's looking a lot like it's just funny. Everything adds up like the last fight does. Like, it all kind of feels the exact same.
Yeah.
But we know that Stipe has that blueprint to beat him. It's True. Just going to be a matter of, is Stipe able to evade him for those five rounds and employ that game plan again? And did Francis really work on his takedown defense?
Right.
But what you got on Stipe, the hometown man?
Our boy, only 50 minutes away.
The hometown hero.
Yeah, he is. The 38-year-old, 6'4" with an 80-inch reach. He is 20 wins and 3 losses, coming off a pair of wins over Daniel Cormier. And then before that, before his loss to Daniel Cormier, he was on a nice 6-fight winning streak. Mark Hunt, Arlovski, Verdum, Overeem, Dos Santos, and Ngannou. And I don't like this narrative that says that Stipe doesn't have power. And that people are like, oh, well, Francis is a big superstar because, like, he's got knockout power. Like, bro,
go watch Stipe knock DC's snot literally out of his nose into the third row.
First of all, second of all, how did he win the belt? Knocked out Verdum cold. What did he do in his first defense? Knocked out Overeem in his hometown crowd and did the OH chant on the mic first round. What did he do to Dos Santos? Started getting hit by the leg kicks. Off. He was like, let me get out of here real quick. Boom, knocked him out. Like, Ngannou and Cormier are the only ones he's taken a decision in a very long time, since Gonzaga at 2014.
Yeah.
Like, Stipe is a finisher. We cannot forget that. And like you said, the blueprint is there, but the question is, how much of a beating has Stipe took in the last, how many rounds is that? Nine and a half rounds of fighting Daniel Cormier over the last 2 years?
Yeah, it really interests me, too, that, DC knocked him out with a short punch. We know for damn sure DC doesn't punch as hard as Ngannou. Like, was it just one of those cumulative.
I think he just caught him.
Chin effects.
But there could be two.
Ngannou, did he just catch him?
Yeah.
Also, I think this is an interesting stat. Stipe will have now fought in his last five fights, two fighters.
That's silly.
That's just so weird to me.
I think he holds the record for most strikes ever landed at heavyweight, too.
Yeah, I think you might be right on that one. But also, I want you an interesting stat here. Stipe, since he's been in these championship fights, undefeated as an underdog. He was the underdog to Fabricio Werdum, won the championship. He was the underdog to Francis Ngannou in the first fight, won the championship. And then he was actually the favorite in the first DC fight and then the underdog in the next two.
Really?
So as an underdog in championship fights, he's 4-0, the king of the underdog. We'll see if he can do it a fifth time because, I mean, he's got Francis in front of him, man. And that's the predator.
Everything I've watched on Francis says that he's gotten better. But, like,
Been able to see it. We haven't seen the work. Like, this is going to be the actual test on, did he get better? Is he ready to be the champion?
Right.
If he can't defend those takedowns, he's not ready.
But, I mean, he's making title challengers and former champs look like scrubs. It's just Stipe's his only kryptonite.
We'll see. We'll see if he's gotten the counter to the kryptonite, because I don't know, man. It's just such a tough one to call. I'm letting you go first.
Man, I'm going to be a little controversial here. I'm going to pick Francis. I think we see a way more patient Francis in this. He's not going to rush in. He says when he watches that first fight, he's ashamed at how, like, sloppily he just came in and was just, like, blowing his load in the first round.
Yeah.
I think we see a way more patient Francis. I think he's going to pick his shots. I think he's going to try to counter if he can. I think CP is going to be the much quicker fighter. And he's probably going to weigh in about, like, 230 like he did last time. He's already said that. But man, I think Francis is gonna catch him up this time.
I think Stipe has the way better MMA skill set overall. I think it just comes down to five rounds of evading Francis Ngannou. And we also know that if he can take Francis into those deeper waters, get him in that, like, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth round,
he wins.
It's a big advantage, Stipe, because, you know, Francis's, I mean, ring time isn't very much because of how quick he's knocked everybody out his entire career.
Right.
So he's not used to those five round fights. He's lost every time he's had to go to decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if Stipe can avoid Francis for a couple rounds and start employing his game plan, we see a lot of the first fight. It's going to be it's going to look exact, a mirror image of it. But I agree with you, son. I think Francis made the adjustments. I think if he can stay focused, if his cardio is where it needs to be, if he made those adjustments to his takedown defense, and if he can be more patient, like you said, with the striking, but still have pressure behind it. He can't be too patient because that'll get him in trouble.
Right. Just like Lewis, he's just going to get picked apart.
He just needs to pick the right times on when he does go forward.
Yeah. Right.
Damn. He's got to be perfect, but I think he's prepared, and I think he's ready to take that title as the baddest man on the planet.
Can't believe you.
I can't believe you.
You... We talked about this forever ago, and you're like, oh, you're tripping, bro. That's Stipe.
Yeah, I also was totally japping you last night about Kamaru Usman.
Yeah, I know.
Psych, you thought Jorge's going to sleep his shit, bro. Jorge made all the adjustments.
What, he ain't eating pizza on his way from Greece this time?
Just watch, bro. Just watch what Jorge's got in store.
All right. I'll be watching. But anyway, the pick is Francis. New heavyweight champ might be crowned.
Yeah. So A&A MMA, only one disagreement on the entire card.
No,
wasn't
we had
expecting
two.
That one at all.
We had two, didn't we?
Nope, just one.
Okay.
Shane Young and Omar Morales.
Nice.
So let me go ahead and run down this entire card for you guys real quick with our picks. Starting in the middleweight division, both of us going with Abu Azaitar to defeat Marc-Andre Barriault. In the featherweight division, our only disagreement of the night, I'm going with Omar Morales, Slim going with Shane Young. In the light heavyweight division, both of us picking Michael Oleksychuk to defeat Modestus Bukauskas. In the welterweight division, both of us going with Abubakar Nurmagomedov to defeat Jared Gordon, my bad. In the light heavyweight division, both of us going with Alonzo Menifield to defeat Fabio Charrant. That's your preliminary card. You can catch that on ESPN and ESPN Plus. For the five-fight main card, we have in the lightweight division, both of us going with Kama Worthy to defeat Jamie Mullarkey. In the women's flyweight division, both of us going with Miranda Maverick to defeat Jillian Robertson. In the bantamweight division, both of us going with Sugar Sean O'Malley to defeat Thomas Almeida. In the welterweight co-main event of the evening, both of us going with Vicente Luque to defeat Tyron Woodley. And in the heavyweight championship of the world, the rematch everybody's been waiting for, both of us going with the challenger, Francis Ngannou, to defeat Stipe Miocic. That is your official UFC 260 preview by A&A MMA. Good luck, my friends. And like I said, go check out Luck Changers. I'm right there, like the last 30 minutes of the episode. If you want my parlay picks for the night, that's where I get more into the odds and stuff like that on the fights. So go check that out. Luck Changers podcast. Also, shout out to my homie Spyro. You're cute. You look like a little loaf of bread right now.
Shout out my mom. Today's her birthday.
I know. I wrote on her timeline.
Nice.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Yep.
So shout out to Debbie. Big birthday girl.
Yes, sir. Big 63.
Yep. I saw that, man. Good for your mom for making it to 63.
Right. Living with my crazy ass.
All right.
Well, that was A&A MMA episode 150.
Yep. Working our way towards 200.
Nice.
Yep. We're at $1.50.
But any shit, can I get 150?
But hope you guys enjoyed that. Good luck on your picks. Good luck on your parlays. Hope everybody wins some money this weekend. And also, make sure you go follow our Twitter @A&A_MMA. That's the letter A, the word and, the letter A, _MMA. I promise I'm back on my tweeting shit. I will not miss a single preview. I will not miss a single round this weekend. I'm on it, okay? I'm on it. We're going to be at Canavan's, but I'm still on it.
Okay? Oh, are we going there?
Yeah.
No, cool.
So I'm going to make sure Slim and I are both on it. If one of us has to tweet, we will, so make sure you go follow us on Twitter, man. You can also donate to our Patreon, which Slim needs to put in our bio, or not our bio, our description, the link to our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/A_A_MMA. Help us out, please, before.
Please.
But yeah, that's all I got. I'm going to go eat some Taco Bizzle.
Ooh, you better get that quesalupa. That shit's fire.
Yeah, but if you get the cravings box on the app, you can get like a crunch wrap, a soft potato taco, or a beefy five layer, and some fiesta potatoes with a drink, all for less than $6.
You better get the quesalupa on the side, because that shit changed your life.
Okay.
It is that good.
All right.
No joke. All right, y'all. Episode 150. We out.
Peace.
Bye.